morning. Go ahead and be seated. All right. Our first matter on calendar this morning is docket number 62764, Henderson versus Henderson. Mr. Young, are you ready?
Yes, sir, Your Honor.
Okay. Come on up.
Okay. Good morning, Your Honors. Elliot Yeag on behalf of Mr. Henderson, and I would like to reserve 5 minutes for my rebuttal.
Okay.
Okay. The issue before this court this morning is whether or not the lower court properly relinquished jurisdiction over child support to the state of Pennsylvania. The parties in this case, Mr. and Mrs. Henderson, are the parents of a young child named Stephen, born in the year 2000. On January 14, 2008, Pennsylvania issued a child support order while the parents were still married. The next day, on January 15, 2008, Ms. Henderson signed a joint petition for divorce in the state of Nevada, indicating that Mr. Henderson was supposed to pay child support in the amount of $150 a month. What Pennsylvania ordered was in excess of $438. So the Nevada court, in the decree of divorce, indicated that it had jurisdiction over child support and ordered Mr. Henderson to pay $150 a month. After that hearing, after the divorce was finalized, Pennsylvania and Nevada had several hearings as to who had jurisdiction over child support. This culminated in January of 2013 when Mr. Henderson again filed a motion to confirm that Nevada had jurisdiction over child support. The lower court said they would have a conference with the court in Pennsylvania. As a result of that conference, a review of the order issued by the lower court reveals that they believe, both Pennsylvania and Nevada judges believed, that Pennsylvania had jurisdiction. There is no basis for that belief in the order. This court has previously said in Rivero, Bluestein, and a host of other cases that the court has to make findings of fact and conclusions of law to support their finding. In this case, the lower court did not. All it said was, we believe.
The argument is that there was substantial evidence in the hearing transcript that supported the district court's findings and conclusions. Can you address that?
Yeah, I was just about to go there, Your Honor.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Justice, in the hearing, a review of the transcript, the final transcript hearing, shows that they were talking about the statute. The judge was talking about the statute. On Record of Appeal, page 88, line 2, the judge says, we're relinquishing jurisdiction based upon the statute. No statute was ever defined. The judge never said what statute he was talking about. In fact, the only statute that was talked about at the hearing was the statute that was addressed by Mr. Henderson's counsel, and that was NRS 130-207. But again, the court didn't say what statute it based its decision on. So for that reason, we believe that the case needs to be remanded back to the lower court. On remand, we would respectfully request that several issues be addressed. One of the issues that happened at the hearing is Mr. Henderson's attorney referred to approximately 4 inches of pleadings from Pennsylvania. Those pleadings were never addressed in argument at all at the lower level. We would request that on remand, the court make findings of fact and conclusions of law to support whatever decision it makes. It examine, look at NRS 132.04, which addresses a person's ability to contest jurisdiction in a child support matter. Also on remand, we would request that the court address whether or not Mr. Henderson ever filed and ever objected to jurisdiction, number one, number in Pennsylvania, number two, ever domesticated the order out of Nevada, the divorce decree out of Nevada, in Pennsylvania, and
Counsel,
three.
Let's, you're asking us, you've gone outside of what we're really here for. You're asking us to do things that we may not even need to get to in light of what's going on.
Well, Your Honor, I'm asking.
We have a situation. The original child support order was entered out of Pennsylvania, if I'm not correct.
Correct.
And then we had the subsequent divorce proceedings here. The mother and the child are in Pennsylvania. Nevada has no real jurisdiction over them. There was a consent, but as you are correct, it was not consent as to jurisdiction of the court, only to the support amount.
Correct, Your Honor. However,
I guess if you look at the Uniform Acts, the question is, how do you provide for continuing jurisdiction of Nevada if, in fact, mother and child are sitting in Pennsylvania?
Well, if Dad had objected to jurisdiction in Pennsylvania in a timely manner pursuant to the Uniform Act.
But you're the appellate. That's your side of the coin's obligation to do that, to show us that.
I don't know if he did that or not, Your Honor. The record is silent on that. That's why you would ask for a remand to determine whether or not that occurred.
Well, wouldn't you, under the Uniform Act, wouldn't Pennsylvania be the child's home state?
Yes, it would. The other issue, Your Honor, though, is I would submit that when Mom signed the joint petition for divorce, in that, she agreed that Dad would pay $150 a month. That presumes that the court in Nevada is going to have jurisdiction over child support. That's what she agreed to because she's the one who signed the joint petition for divorce.
Why did she agree to $150 when she had an order for $400? I don't understand that. Well, what's the background on this? I know you guys are both pro bono on this. And
the record is silent.
I don't know why we're hearing it, but go ahead.
The record is silent on that, Your Honor. The only thing I can assume is that in a lot of cases, moms, in my experience, moms want fathers to be more involved in the kids' lives, and the reduction in child support would allow for him to pay for airplane travel for either himself back to Pennsylvania or airplane travel for the child out to Las Vegas. So that's why I would assume that she agreed to a lower amount. However, the record is silent, so I can only guess as to what it was. The other thing, Your Honors, is that by signing the joint petition, she entered into an agreement with Dad that A, child support, or that Nevada would have jurisdiction over child support, and B, that Nevada would, the child support would be set at $150 a month. And as this court has said in Rivero and Buettner and a whole host of other cases, the parties are free to enter into a contract as long as the court and the court will enforce the terms of that contract. In this case, they also entered into a contract for Nevada to have jurisdiction over child support, and that child support would be set at $150.
Why $150, though? There are guidelines for child support. Wow. Did Ochoa or the Pennsylvania judge look at the guidelines here in Nevada?
In the final hearing, Judge Ochoa did look at the guidelines for child support and set it at $580-some-odd, I believe. I can only conclude, again, without having looked at the file, file from Pennsylvania, and we don't have that in the record, that it was what Pennsylvania was set at was in accordance with Pennsylvania guidelines. That's why we would ask that this be.
But actually, Pennsylvania, the judge indicated that if Nevada maintained jurisdiction, the child support would be set at $617 a month, but then there was a downward deviation for.
There was a downward deviation. I can tell the court that what is not in the record is that Mr. Henderson does have another child here in Las Vegas.
Yes, and that's, I believe, the basis for the downward deviation.
Yes. So, to sum up, we would ask that the case be remanded because, again, there are no findings of fact and conclusions of law to support the finding on remand to examine the Pennsylvania record to see if, A, Mr. Henderson filed an objection under the Uniform Act 13204 to contest jurisdiction, two, whether or not he domesticated the order from Nevada and Pennsylvania, and three, whether or not Mr. Henderson can flesh out the argument of contract law.
What has he been paying? What has he been paying all these years?
And I don't know, Your Honor. The record is silent on that. So I see that my time is almost up. Thank you.
Okay, you can reserve the balance. You've got about 5.5 minutes.
Yes, thank you.
Good morning.
Good morning, Your Honor.
Can you answer my question about what he's been paying? Is he behind? What's the story? Where is he?
I believe he is behind, and it's been sporadic payments. And I think you hit the nail on the head in two ways when you said, why would she agree to 150? In fact, Judge Ochoa, page 81, line 21, says, I don't know how freely she agreed to that. She's been in Pennsylvania all this time. The child's in Pennsylvania. The court laid out the facts. It was started in 2007. The order was 2008. They litigated up to the appellate level in 2012. And so here he is forum shopping again. And I think we have to consider two things. The child's now going to be 16 in January, number one. And number two, that the logistical nightmare, if the court were to reverse and remand, now we're saying the district court in Nevada is supposed to supersede the appellate court in Pennsylvania. This is going to go on and on. So,
counsel, let's, rather than get ahead of ourselves, let's back up
sure.
to the basic issues that counsel presented in terms of jurisdictional aspect. Is it Pennsylvania? Is it Nevada? Should we abide by the written agreement, or is a written agreement vague as a jurisdiction? What's your position as to that?
My position is it was started in Pennsylvania. It's been decided in Pennsylvania, and the judge here, Ochoa, did follow the proper procedure. He contacted the judge in Pennsylvania. They discussed the issues, and Pennsylvania said they would keep jurisdiction. Judge Ochoa relinquished jurisdiction. He laid the facts out on the record, the facts I said a little earlier, and I don't see any reason why the court should reverse and remand this. They should just affirm the district court.
There was an agreement within the paperwork as to that 150. Why shouldn't the court view that as a agreement to allow jurisdiction to remain in Nevada?
Because there's other agreements. That's not the only agreement. The first agreement started in Pennsylvania. The last agreement was in Pennsylvania. And it was taken up to the appellate level there. And I don't think you can take the 2010 joint petition where there's no evidence that the defendant in that case, Ms. Henderson, knew she was relinquishing, one, the child support jurisdiction here, or even the amount. And as, again, Justice Cherry said, why would she agree to so much less? She's been fighting this the whole time and fighting it in Pennsylvania. It wouldn't be logical for her to say, okay, I'll just take 150, let it go. We wouldn't be here otherwise.
Well, logic or not, she signed the papers agreeing to that amount. She didn't necessarily agree to jurisdiction, but she agreed to that amount. I don't know why. On my good days, I'm not a clairvoyant, so that's why I asked the question.
Yeah, and I appreciate the question, and it's a good question for this situation. However, since we don't know the ins and outs of all that, it's not on the record. The only thing we can go with is she started in Pennsylvania. She got the order in Pennsylvania. And the last order was in Pennsylvania.
Are we bound, as this counsel has put forth, to remand this back because the lower court did not make any findings on the record, or as Justice Perry has asserted, the record is clear? Is that your position? Or
the record is clear. He verbally stated the three reasons, or four reasons, actually. It started in 2007. The order was 2008. He litigated it, meaning Mr. Henderson, in 2012. And he did throw in something that was interesting, that in his conversation with Judge Ness back in Pennsylvania, he found out more facts that Mr. Henderson wasn't forthcoming with below, such as the appeal of the Pennsylvania order. And I think that's significant. So Mr. Henderson, who seems to be forum shopping, takes it up the ladder, and his counsel, Mr. Del Vecchio, admits below, yeah, he took it right up the ladder. He kept appealing, and when he didn't like it, well, let's go back and see what Nevada will do. And so I think he's had enough shots at the apple, and I would ask that the court just affirm the district court's decision. No other questions?
None by me.
Do you have any other questions?
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, you got about 5.5 minutes on rebuttal.
I don't think I'm going to need that, Your Honor, Mr. Justice. I'd like to point out a couple of things. With respect to the joint petition, she signed it, and it was notarized. So that would suggest that she reviewed it, and she agreed with it. Or else why would she sign it? She was in Pennsylvania. She had an order stating that she had over $500, almost $500. She had an order in Pennsylvania saying that she was going to get $437 a month plus. There was no reason for her to sign the joint petition unless she agreed with it. They're on the other side of the country. The other part I would bring up is she never opposed the motion that Mr. Henderson filed that resulted in this appeal. She was properly served, and there's no indication that she wasn't. She never filed an appearance. She never filed an objection. Under our rules, if you don't file an objection to a motion, you agree to it. The court can say you agree to it.
Was that an issue down below?
No, it was not an issue down below. But what I'm saying is, for the purpose
that, of that was a 8th Judicial District Court rule.
Yes.
Yeah. 2.20.
Yes. From our standpoint, if we took everything that everybody brought to us, we would be buried.
I understand
that. The court retains the obligation or the authority to decide what is properly before it and what is not. Not the parties.
No, I'm sorry, Your Honor. I did not mean to say that. What I'm saying, though, is in this particular situation, when I may have misspoken, I apologize. When Mr. Henderson filed his motion to reaffirm Nevada had jurisdiction, he never filed an opposition to that.
And that was never challenged?
That was never challenged. That was never brought up in court that I'm aware of. And it probably should have been addressed.
I'm not sure that it was challenged on appeal either. I'm not sure it was an issue that was...
I did not bring it up in my pleadings.
Right. So we're not going to consider that.
Okay. So, Your Honors, unless anybody has any more questions, I don't have anything else to add. Thank you.
I don't have anything in... Either of you?
No.
No, I just thank the counsel for the arguments today. And
absolutely. Mr. Yugen, Mr. Burke, we appreciate you providing the services that you did on these cases pro bono, and we appreciate the briefs and the arguments. So thank you.
Thank you.
This matter will stand submitted, and we will call the next case.